Patty Vasquez Show with Andrea Darlis, and there's an exciting new theater experience. It's dinner, it's music, it's performance, it's aerial arts, it's magic. There's so much more. What I love is the title, Andrea, Love, Chaos, and Dinner, which sounds like an evening with my in-laws, but this, no, this is so much better.
But this is going to be special and yes. fun and exciting and cabaret style. It reminds me a little bit of a very intimate Moulin Rouge, and we're so excited to have the producer, the founder and creative director in studio with us, Norm Langill.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, is it Norman Langill?
Norman Langill. That mm-hmm. sounds good. It sounds kind of French. That's great.
It is a lovely French name.
Oui, oui.
You mean it's, wait, it sounds French? Do you know if it actually is? Have you done the origins of your name?
Yes, it's Langill.
Oh, so yeah. We've both been saying it wrong.
But no.
We stand corrected. Langill.
In America, Langill. It keeps getting ground and drowned over, many years.
Don't allow it. Stand your ground on Langill.
I'll try.
We interviewed Dylan Lauren, Ralph Lauren's daughter, one time, and I said, all right, clear up once and for all. Is it Ralph Lauren or Ralph Lauren? And she said, it depends on where you are. She said, in the United States, it's Lauren. She said, but when we go to France, it becomes Laurent.
Oh, yeah. Laurent. It's like Langille.
Right.
See, it's much more sophisticated that way.
Yeah.
And this show sounds like an element of sophistication that we don't necessarily have on a regular basis. There's a lot of traveling shows, but you're setting up something that's a new, fun, modern-day Kit Kat Club, aren't you?
Yeah, it's really it's in a Belgian Spiegel tent, which mm-hmm. we're putting on the 14th floor above the Cambria Hotel, and the Oriental Theater is directly below us. And it's a tent, a large tent, 3 stories tall. It's all carved wood and mirrors. They used them in Europe for years for dances, 10 pfennigs a dance, and that's when beer was cheap. You didn't make money on beer, you made money on dancing.
Yeah.
And we've taken the tent and turned it into a restaurant, really a nightclub. It has carved wood, mirrors, stained glass. It's a really a magical place. It only seats about 330, and so you're really compressed. And it feels like you're on a set.
So everyone's sort of in the performance.
You're in it. In fact, they're playing the role of the restaurant customer.
Oh, nice.
I mean, in essence.
How hard, though, is it to bring a production of this magnitude with everything we're talking about, the dinner and the Cirque and the performances, to Chicago in a brand new venue?
Well, we've been doing it for about 20 years in Seattle, San Francisco, and learning the craft of it, which is really to be intimate with the audience, to try to turn off the fourth wall and make it seem more like a party, a celebration. And we're first and foremost, we're about funny. And the one thing we love about Chicago, it's a great comedy town. Mm-hmm. And so we're about funny and beauty. So if you can think about it, it's like love and food, which, you think about it when you're a baby. What's the first two things you think about? And that's who loves me and when do I eat?
Right, exactly. So, yeah. I still think about those things.
Me too.
I know. Everybody
does. You
keep
them at the top of your list.
Right.
That's
yes.
right. Every day everybody's thinking about that. So we play with that idea all night long.
And you just mentioned that Chicago is a great comedy town. What other elements do you cater to the city, depending on where you establish shows like this?
Well, I'm originally from around here. I'm from outside of Milwaukee.
Okay.
And Chicago was the spot. I mean, it is the spot in the middle of the country. It's the capital of the middle of the United States. Mm-hmm. And culturally, I would come down here all the time. I'd visit a lot of friends in the theater, like Stuart Gordon, who started the Organic Theater, is an old and dear friend of mine. I would see other shows here. We'd go to the Art Institute. I mean, it was the place to go. To be here, and it's where all the really good ideas in the Midwest come. And I know.
Well, thank you. We like to think that way.
Oh, absolutely.
No, it's absolutely true.
And so, I think audiences, and you've seen this, and you will continue to see this too with Love, Chaos, and Dinner. But audiences really appreciate the theater. We enjoy it. We make a night out of it. We get dressed up. It's a big deal to our audiences.
Particularly women like to get dressed up. I'm still working on the men.
No kidding. We've talked about that.
Yeah.
There's something about elevating it that way and making it an experience rather than like as I'm going. you know, instead of I'm just going out.
Right.
You
know,
well, I think in the future, that's going to be one of the most valuable things you can ever get is going to be experiences, because mm-hmm. the tech world thinks everything's going to be free eventually. So the only thing left are the live experiences you have every day. Mm-hmm. And so we work really hard to combine that. We do combine comedy and circus and popular music and opera. And we put it all together in an evening with a kind of a story that begins in the middle and ends in the middle. Kind of like life.
And this is something that you're going to be opening in April. So it's April 5th of 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll be a lot of fun. And we're opening there and we're redoing the whole space. It used to be the former Masonic Temple, mm-hmm. uh-huh. built in 1928.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been left, actually the Cook County Sheriff had his office up there for years.
Oh, really?
And they brought the whole ceiling down, 35 feet. They brought it down to 10 feet. And so when the landlord, John Murphy, who bought the place, came in to kind of clean it up and popped open the ceiling, he realized there was this giant room that had been masquerading as an office. And
Isn't that amazing? I love the stories of our architecture. There's one building over here on Wabash and Wacker, and it just looks like a little archway.
Yeah.
And that was Helmut Jahn's office in one of the buildings, one of our premier architects here uh-huh. in Chicago and throughout the world, apparently. But that was his office at one point. And I never knew that until someone told me that. And I walked past that building every day for 20 years, and I thought, oh, that's an interesting archway.
Yeah.
So our history is very cool, too, well, with the architecture.
And that's what's great about this show, is to reintroduce a hidden gem to to audiences and bring it to life in a way that most people wouldn't have even imagined.
No, nobody even knew it existed right. there for the last 25 years. And then suddenly it became available, and it's in the theater district. It's kind of the attic of the Oriental Theater. And we're going to bring this restaurant nightclub intimate experience.
I'm glad. I'm glad, because I think cabaret, well, it did go away for a while, and now it's back. It's coming back.
Especially if you're the performer is inches away from you.
That's right.
Oh, yeah, God. It really gets up in there, doesn't it?
Right.
Sure does.
Gets you involved and takes your attention.
You know, your resume, it's when we were prepping and reading about you, I'm amazed that we got everything that you've done into like a small paragraph on a half of a page here. But you created, let's talk a little bit about you. You created One Reel back in 1972.
And that was, I took a 1931 Model A truck and turned it into a circus stage. And we went in, out and kind of did, I guess at that time it would be like sort of acid drag queen theater, although we were all, all over to rodeos and to county fairs all over Montana and Idaho and Washington. And after that, I started producing festivals in order not to own a theater.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned a lot from Summerfest and from Chicago Fest, and turned the World's Fair site in Seattle, where the Space Needle is, into a festival called Bumbershoot, which had 20 stages, a giant arena stage, and I did that for about 25 years.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's a huge undertaking to coordinate all of that, because I'm sure the minute you fold one festival, you start thinking about the next one.
Absolutely. And what I learned from that is about all the different types of art, mm-hmm. and we had everything from literary to poetry to big rock and roll to jazz to dance, theater, everything was in it. And from that, I got to learn what was going on around the world.
Yeah.
And then we worked with Peter Gabriel and did the WOMAD Festival out there in Seattle. And so in 1992, we were invited to produce this rice farming musical at the Olympics in Barcelona.
And
there were three languages in it. I only think one person in the world fully understood the musical, although it was kind of like Yukie meets Romeo in the rice farming. And it was designed for rice farming. We toured it down the Mississippi Valley and in Japan for 3 years in all the rice farming areas. And we took it to Barcelona. And while I was there, I found the Spiegel tent. And
I love all the cultures come together.
That's a Spiegel tent.
Isn't that beautiful?
This
I know, I have the little picture of it. It's so cool looking.
And it's so amazing if you're an audience member to go into an environment that you're kind of off the ground a couple inches. It feels magical. And it's so much more fun to entertain somebody when they're not sitting there with their folded arms mm-hmm. saying, like, do me.
Yeah.
And they're really ready to go for it and letting the men take down their armor of the day. And we have dance moment in the show. We invite people to dance. And Joan Baez was in the show 5 different times.
How lovely.
And she's a great actress. People don't really know that about her. But she developed a bit where she'd get the audience to dance. And the key to getting people to dance, particularly men, who after the age of 20 suddenly say, I can't dance anymore.
Sure.
Right. You have to tell everybody in the audience, in your best Army Sergeant voice, that get up, it's time to dance,
right.
Don't think about it, just ask the person next to you, now get up and move.
And get up and do it.
And mm-hmm. you just tell them, and if you say the right Army Sergeant voice, every man in the room will stand up and say, yes, sir, I shall dance for thee.
And the women are ready to dance, too.
No, no
doubt. They're always ready to dance.
Always. Yeah. You've won an Emmy and a Grammy, so you just have two left now. You're the Tony and the Oscar.
You're
for the big four, yeah.
Right. No, that was fun. It was... this is the most fun experience I've had because right now audiences need intimate experiences. They need to feel like they're part of a group, they're part of a great party that's welcoming them. And I think we want to take people away from flat screen TVs, theater.
And their phones. I mean, look up, you know, up into the world. Literally look up with this production.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's exactly what we're all about.
And tell us about the world that you've created as well with the performers, because obviously these folks must come from such eclectic backgrounds.
They come from all over the world. I mean, we have some world champions and on various Olympic teams who are circus artists, and they're really the best in the world because they have a chance to jam and workshop with great comic entertainers and with pop singers. Ann Wilson, who's been in the show, and Thelma Houston, and... just tons of singers. We've done almost, this is the 20th year, so we've done almost 7,000 shows.
And that's 20 years of Teatro Zanzini?
Yeah, 20 years of doing Teatro Zanzani.
And Zanzani. I knew I was going to get it wrong.
Yeah, I know.
I just saw TZ, and I was like, I'll take a stab at it.
So that's really, to feel that music changes completely all night long, because we all have so much music in our head.
Right.
That there's no point in dwelling on a particular theme or style, not when you know you can feel music, great songs from the 30s, great classical music, Nina Rota, everything. We have the kitchen sink in there.
And it affects everyone, men, women, children of all ages. That's the beauty of this, too.
Yeah, we have children there, and, you know, we're not raunchy, but there are double entendres in the show. And
sure.
They just like a stone skipping on water, they just jump right over the kids'
right.
heads.
Which is good.
Right.
And this will be at the Cambria Hotel in the Theater District at 32 West Randolph Street. Yeah. If people want to start taking a look at the wonderful images and the plans as they're being developed, you can go to BroadwayInChicago.com and also find the Zanzini.com is your own website for the theater group?
Yes, and you can come in there and click right into TZ Chicago. We have an email mm-hmm. sign-up sheet. We'll be starting to sell single tickets here in November.
I don't want to wait. I want it now. I don't want to wait. Now, the anticipation, now that's everything leading up to it, the anticipation
right.
is what everyone's going to be waiting for.
Well, good. Well, thank you, guys.
Thank you for being here.
It was wonderful. We've been talking to Norman Langy, who is the director and creative director
like
and the founder of Teatro Zanzani. And it's been a pleasure talking to you, sir.
Yeah.
As we get closer, we obviously would love to meet to talk more about how the plans have been coming, maybe meet some of the performers, and talk more about this incredible performance that you're going to be bringing to Chicago starting in April of 2019.
Yeah, and thank you for bringing it to Chicago, because
yes,
it's
no
about
kidding.
Time. We've been waiting for this.
Well,
yep.
It's going to be the Chicago version of all this.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, and that's I know it's going to have a great stamp on it then, too.
Right.
That's what the city brings. Yeah. Have a great evening. We'll see you again very soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Norman.
More after this on 720 WGN. It's the Patty Vasquez Show with Andre Darlis.